Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the site. It's just good to have you with us, and seeing we're not meeting for fellowship, we are doing the recordings every week. The title of the message is Life is Hard, but God is Good, and Heaven is Real. The basis of this message is taken, the text is from Revelation 21, verse 1 to 4. And when reading through the book of Revelation, we really need to use picture language as the text unfolds. So John, writing on the island of Patmos, has got a glimpse into heaven, and he sees the new Jerusalem. And I'd just like to read the first four verses of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God and be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. We can see that paradise as being restored here. So before we just get into the message today, let's just close our eyes and let's just commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank and praise you, Lord, that we can just come around your word, and as we open the Bible and we go through a couple of verses here, Lord, that you'll speak to us by your Spirit. And Lord, that we'll be strengthened in our faith, we'll be encouraged. And most of all, that we can fix our eyes on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, from where our help and our strength comes from, especially in times that we are living, Lord. And Father, that we can just have a new glimpse of heaven and our eternal home for the place that we are heading to. So Father, we just pray that you'll just bless our time further in the name of Jesus. We pray these things. Amen. In 2005, on the 23rd of August, Hurricane Katrina hit along the south coast of America, like the tsunami that struck South Asia only months before. Hundreds of thousands of people were displaced, affected, and many thousands lost their lives and were driven from their homes only to seek shelter elsewhere. These areas have been rebuilt, but it has been hard for those affected. Sometimes harshness comes upon us suddenly and without warning. And don't we realize that in the days that we are living, and with this virus and what else is going on in the world today, that life has really taken a turn, and we just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But life has its shares of joys as well, and laughter. But we also know that life's road is often rough. Temptations attack us. People disappoint us. Illness and age weaken us. Tragedies and sorrow ambush us. Life is hard, but God is good, and heaven is real, is the title of the message. We've got a couple of points. The first one is, we need to look at our final destination. One of the Bible's great truths is that we are not meant for this world alone. Death is not the end of life. It is only a gateway or a door to eternity for those who are in Christ Jesus. The only question is, where will you spend eternity? Either with God, in that place of endless joy the Bible calls heaven, or apart from him, separated from him, in a place of endless despair, separated from God forever, a place of judgment. Now, when we look in the book of Job, we can see that Job was a upright man. He feared God and he shunned evil. And in Job 14, we know what Job went through. He lost everything in his family and his business. But yet Job says here, man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He will spring up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Yet Job knew this isn't the whole story. He knew that at the end he will see God. For the Christian, death is the beginning of a life, a new life with God, and it will last forever, for all eternity. Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10, he said, for those who are not in Christ, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. Those who are in Christ, for those who love him. In verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God has brought it all out in the open before you. Heaven is our glorious hope. So our final destination, then we look at how do we know that heaven is real? One reason is because of our inner desire. There must be something beyond this life. And the scripture tells us that we can have this assurance that that heaven is real, that God has an eternal home for us, that this life is not all that there is. The psalmist in Psalm 19, this is one of the ways that God displays his glory, is it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the works of his hands. And if you go out into the night sky tonight and you look around and you see all the stars in this splendor and you see the moon and you see how God has put this all in place, he called them out one by one, the starry host of heaven. And we can see how God's greatness and his majesty is displayed in the universe. One of the ways that God just reveals himself to us. Some faiths believe that there is no life beyond the grave. Isn't that sad? If the God of this universe created us and he wanted to have a relationship with us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, surely that would not be the end of us, because the Bible is clear in Ecclesiastes verse 3. It says that God implanted within us eternity. He has also set eternity in the hearts of man. We were made for God, and we yearn or long for to be with him forever. We were made by God, and we were made for God. Man's chief end in life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In the time that you and I have left on this earth, we are to be the salt and light, to go and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we come into contact with. If we're not going to do it, well, who's going to do it? God is waiting for us to go and to be a salt, to go and encourage people, salt and light, and the earth, to perhaps pray with them, to perhaps share scripture with them. We also know that heaven is real because God's promises. From Genesis to Revelation, God assures us that we were made to live with him forever. King David, we well know in the Bible, went through many difficulties, often because of choices he made himself. But yet when he went through all that, he knew that his hope and his anchor was in God. In Psalm 23 verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew that through all that he went, that he would be with the Lord in his house forever, in heaven, in his heavenly home. My friend, I want to ask you something. Do you know that you're going to be in your heavenly home? In the midst of Job's trials, he did not shake his fist in God's face and say, why have you allowed this to happen to me? In Job 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the end, he will stand upon the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh will I see God. He had that assurance in his heart that he would see God no matter what he went through, no matter what you're going through. If you're a child of God, you will be ushered into your heavenly home. You will see God. Jesus promised in John 11, 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And in verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is a promise to us. He who believes in me. Now, of course, a lot of people have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ, but that's all they've got. It's not in their heart. Jesus is not real to them. They've never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never surrendered their lives over to Jesus Christ. Believing the Bible is more than just having a head knowledge. It's putting your faith, putting your trust. So it says, he who puts his faith, puts his trust, and believes in me will, even though he dies, he will rise again, and he will live with me forever. Our body will go to the earth, but yet our soul will go up to be with the Lord in heaven, our spirit. He says, do you believe this? Paul taught in 2 Corinthians, now we know that if our earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands, but been built by God. We know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrected bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. Then there is a third reason why we know that heaven is real, because Christ's death and resurrection for us. Well, why did Christ leave his heavenly glory and enter a sinful world? For one reason is to point us back to God, and so that we can have salvation and receive that gift of eternal life. When God created Adam and Eve, they lived with him in perfect harmony. But Satan tempted them away from God. And of course, they made their own choices. They choose to turn their back on God and go their own way. And so death came upon the human race. Death is not only dying, but physically, but it's been separated spiritually from God. And death was Satan's greatest victory. Man was separated from God. That's a sad thing that man was separated, but sad, man can be reunited to God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ reveals this by his death and resurrection upon the cross. The Bible is clear. Christ came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear, by death, by sin. My friend, I don't have to tell you about the world today. It's in great fear. There's a lot of fear in the world. People are afraid. People are afraid of getting sick. People are afraid of dying. People are uncertain. And as a young person growing up, when I was a teenager, I was also a person who was afraid of death, very afraid of death. I used to have nightmares, wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, and picturing myself one day just going into a black hole. When I died, I'm going to go into this black hole, and that will be the end of me. I was afraid of dying, besides the other fears that I had. But the Bible says, we know this hymn quite well from 1 Corinthians 15, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that today? He gives us victory over sin. He gives us victory over death. He gives us victory over the grave. He gives us victory over the plans and the works of the evil one. Christ motivated in coming to earth was motive was to come to earth to love us and to love the human race. His goal was to destroy the plans of the evil one and save us from death and give us everlasting life. Jesus' resurrection proves that death is not the end. Jesus even promises in John 14, He said, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." In the King James Version, it says many mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." And if you read on that scripture a bit further, is Jesus says, so that you can be where I am. Jesus wants us to be where he is. The question is, what is your room like at home? Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a room for you." If you read a little bit further on that in that scripture, verse 6 of John 14, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me or by me." And Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with God. "I'm the way. No other way. No religion can save you, my friend. Only Jesus Christ through the cross. I'm the truth." You know, many people are searching for truth nowadays. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stop searching for truth, because he will put the truth in your heart and the truth will set you free. The word of God is truth and is there to set us free from the deception of false religions that we have in the world today. And of course, Jesus says, "I'm the life." He gives the eternal life. Now, when you pray and receive and ask for that eternal life, he gives it now and then, of course, on into heaven. So what is heaven like? The Bible doesn't answer all our questions about heaven. In John 3:13, "No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man," meaning God taking on human body in the person of Jesus Christ. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ stepped down into the earth, onto the earth, and then he took on a human body so that he could relate to us, but yet he had no sin. He was a sinless savior of the world. And so heaven is the perfect and beautiful place that sometimes we just can't get our mind around it, because it's so splendid and so glorious the way the Bible describes the place of heaven. When John was on the island of Patmos, that's Apostle John, and God opened the door of heaven slightly and gave him a glimpse of heaven's splendor. In Revelation 21:11, we can read that in the scriptures, 11 and 20, yes, 21. The Bible says that heaven, it shone. When he looked inside, it shone with glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel. "The great and sweet city was pure. The streets of the city were pure with gold and like transparent glass." 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul writes, "Now we have seen but a poor reflection, as in a mirror." When we look in a mirror and the mirror is cracked, we have a distorted image of the reflection that we're looking in the mirror. And this is where we see God at the moment in our human bodies. We have a partial knowledge of God. But when we see him face to face, "Now I know in part," Paul says, "then I will know, be shown him, I'll be shown, I shall know him fully. Yet we only know him partly, but then we will know him fully. Our faith will become sight." Heaven is more than just pie in the sky when you die. Here are four truths the Bible teaches us about what heaven will be, what it will be like in heaven. Firstly, we will be with God. God is omnipresent. We know that he's all present by his Spirit all over the earth. But in heaven is more than a place. It is a whole different dimension of existence. And God is in the midst with Christ at his right hand. Think of the Bible, what it says. We will be with him forever, absolutely safe from all evil. We can read, that's what we read in our passage. Then we will be at home at last. The word home means different things for different people. If your home is a happy home, a place you look forward to going, is it? This world for you, child of God, is not your eternal home. The Bible said we are aliens and strangers on the earth in Hebrews 11. Child of God, we are merely passing through. Don't put your roots down in this world. This world sometimes just does not have anything to offer us. But we have a heavenly home where God has gone to prepare, where Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us, as we read in John 14. Home is a place of peace and joy. Home is a place of love and security. Home is a place of welcome and rest. This is what heaven is, and so much more. And then thirdly, the Bible tells us that in heaven, we will be like Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Then the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. We will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. We will have a new body, a resurrected body, like Christ. We will be perfect. We will recognize those who went before us. We will recognize the patriarchs, the great people of the Bible in the past, and for all those who have died in Christ. What a glorious time that will be for all of us when we're gathered around the banquet table, when Jesus Christ will be at the head of the table and we'll feast together in paradise. See, because paradise has been restored. We thank God for that. The Bible says, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him for who he is. What a glorious promise. What a glorious day. What a glorious gospel that we have. And then finally, in heaven, we will be part of the new creation, because there is no sin in heaven and there's no sin in the new creation, but only peace. The whole order of things will have changed. The wolf will live and lie. The wolf will lie and live with the lamb. There'll be no fear there. There's a lot of fear in the world, as I said much earlier on. A lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. This will happen when Christ will return, that return to establish his authority over all creation. The day of the Lord will come suddenly, though, as a thief in the night, the Bible tells us. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready? For if you die, you're going to either go to heaven or you're going to face judgment. Either way or the other. Heaven is real, and we as Christians have a hope in the future right now. Our hope is not only in this life. In the midst of storms, are you in a storm today? Are you perhaps going through some very difficult times as a Christian? Our hope is in God's promises of heaven. He is our anchor for our soul. He's firm and secure anchor, which will never break free. Because heaven is real, our lives have a purpose and a meaning right now. We have purpose for living. I certainly do have purpose for living. I've got meaning for life, things I never had before. But for many people, life is meaningless. But when we know Christ, we know that God has a reason for keeping us here. Every day is a gift from him and is another opportunity to love him, to worship him, and to glorify his name. Heaven does not make life less important. It makes it more important. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we come into contact with. We need to take every opportunity that God gives us. Lord, help us not to miss the opportunities that you give us. And Lord, we also just ask you that you'll give us a clean slate, that we'll be in a right standing with others that we come into as far as it is possible. Perhaps at the beginning of this new year, 2021, you're uncertain of a lot of things. But after reading the scriptures, we can realize that we got to just continue to have our anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's something that you got to get right with some person. Perhaps there's a phone call you got to make. Do it now. Perhaps there's a letter that you got to send. Do it now. Perhaps you've got to go and visit somebody, that meal that you were going to promise somebody, that person that you're going to go and pray with, you've been putting it off. Go do it now, because this afternoon it might be too late. Because heaven is real, we should live every moment for Christ. Life is short. None of us knows how long we have. Live each day as if it were your last, for someday it will be. I'm going to say that again. Live each day as if it were your last, for someday it will be. Is heaven your goal? Are you looking forward to going there? Don't let the burdens and the hardships and the disappointments of this life distract you or discourage you. But keep your eyes firmly fixed on what God has promised at the end of your life's journey. Heaven itself. We look as we come to the end of our passage. We look at the end of this scripture in Revelation 21. It talks about heaven here. 27, towards the end. It says, a place of heaven. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And if not, why not pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life today and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and He will open the door of heaven for you. Don't leave it. Don't let it be too late for you. Just before we pray, we're going to pray and give you opportunity to pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Or maybe you just like to rededicate your life at the beginning of this year. And I'd like to just share a short testimony with you. When I came to know the Lord in 1984, I told my friend I grew up with in Little Mowbray here in Cape Town. And I told him about what had happened in my life, that I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And he said he knew, he could see the difference in me. And I tried to explain the gospel to him as best as I could. And he said to me, I know what you're saying is real, but right now I've got too much living to do. But one day I'll hand my life over to God. That's what his words were. One day I'll hand my life over to God. But sadly, that man's life was cut short through his own choices. And I think of his words, one day I'll hand my life over to God. And maybe you're also saying that, yes, one day I'll get my life right. One day I'll hand my life over to Jesus Christ. I know it's right, but one day. You know, if we had to go visit graveyards and we had to look at graves, not that we go and visit graveyards, I'm sure, and we had to look on tombstones and see people's names there and when they were born and when they died, and what you normally has RIP, rest in peace, and they've got a verse or they've got some nice saying there. But can you imagine various tombstones saying, for this person, it was too late. For that person, it was too late. They heard the gospel, but they did nothing with Jesus Christ. They knew him. They had a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. They might have even read their Bible. They might even know their Bible very well, but they never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ and lived for him. Are you living for Jesus Christ? That's a question to you, my friend. As we start out, as I said earlier on, as we start out this new year with all its uncertainties the world has, why don't you just open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Wherever you are seated or listening to this message, you might even be in hospital. You could be anywhere. You could even be in a prison somewhere. And you could be walking the streets, but inside your heart, you feel like you're in a prison. You've been weighed down with sin and burdens of life. Why don't you ask the great burden bearer, his name is Jesus Christ, to come and lift those burdens for you today and sort it out once and for all with Jesus? Why don't you just close your eyes? And perhaps when your eyes are closed now, just think about the message today. Think about what God was saying to you about his Spirit. Maybe he's touched something, a chord inside your heart, and he said, yes, this is an area of your life that you need to get sorted out. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you need to repent of. and have a change of heart and a change of mind. You know, only my dear friend, only God can do that in your life. And perhaps you'd like to pray a simple prayer, but pray from your heart and mean it. Don't just rattle it off as words, as, oh, well, just another prayer. If you really are serious about Jesus Christ, well, open your heart to him. You can pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I've sinned in my thoughts, my words, and my action. There are so many good things I have not done. So many good things that I've, so many things I've left undone. There's so many sinful things I've done, Lord. But Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And now turn away from everything that I know to be wrong. All those things that I've done, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I give my life to you. I thank you, Lord, for dying for me upon the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came, the sinless Son of God, and that you hung upon that cross. And the Bible says that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, purifies us, or he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all our sins. And Jesus can forgive you for all sins. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus, for paying for our sins upon the cross. And the Lord Jesus gave his life for you gratefully. And now you give your life back to him. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life as my Savior. And I come ask you to come in as my life, as my Lord, and to give me that gift of eternal life. To take control of me, Lord. Take up your rightful place in my life, in my heart. I now get off the throne of my heart, of my life, and I allow you to take up your rightful place within my heart. I ask you to break down all pride, Lord. I know pride keeps us away from heaven, and pride keeps us away from you, Lord. I ask you to break down all my pride, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, just to give me that gift of eternal life. And I thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayers, because you tell me in your word that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And thank you for saving my soul today, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that we have a hope and that we have a future in you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm now part of your family, your heavenly family, the family on this earth, Lord. All over you have your people, Lord, all over the world. The Spirit is moving. So thank you, Lord Jesus, that I could pray this prayer. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I just pray for people who ever prayed this prayer, perhaps for the first time, or maybe you just recommitted your life today. I pray, Lord, that you work in their hearts in a very special way. I pray, Lord, that you give them that assurance of salvation that they belong to you. We thank you for the many promises in the Bible, Lord, that you tell us whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And they've crossed over from death to life. We thank you for that life that you've given us through Jesus Christ, your Son. Yes, Lord, we thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your one and only Son. His name is Jesus. That whoever calls upon his name, whoever believes in his name, whoever puts their faith and trust in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for your many promises in the Bible. Lord, we hang on to your promises in days of trouble that we face, Lord. But yet, Lord, we are able to have your peace within our hearts. We thank you for the message, Lord, today, that you reminded us of our heavenly home, a place where we are heading for those who are in Christ. We thank you for that, Lord, that you've opened the doorway for heaven through the cross. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we worship you. Amen. Now to him is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.
This world has no Well, faithful ones from every tongue will one day come before the sun. We'll stand made faultless through.
Sad.